Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this week trend, long week trend, trending episode of The Daily Zeitgeist!
Ooh, yeah.
I am Jack. That is Miles.
Yeah.
You just fucking blew my mind, man.
What?
You just told me that there was one guy who was in all those interstitials.
Yeah, those Jay-Z rapper interludes.
Yeah. The okay, I'm reloaded.
Mm-hmm.
You motherfuckers think you're big time fucking with Jay-Z. You're going to die big time. Here comes the pain.
Exactly. That was not,
I assumed because the impression isn't quite there, I assumed it was Jay-Z doing a voice.
Yeah. No, it's this other dude. I forget. He has a nickname and everything. But if you watch the backstage documentary that was about the Hard Knock Life Rough Riders tour, he's like, he was on the road with them. And like, when he starts talking, you're like, oh shit, that's him. Because you hear it immediately.
Yeah,
Jay-Z
yeah.
is not known as a master of disguise, I would say. He's
no,
pretty...
He's got
one way of
voice.
Delivering shit.
Well, this is the episode where we tell you what is trending, what was trending over the weekend, what happened over the weekend. First, we check in with ourselves, with one another, by telling you some stuff we think is overrated, underrated.
Yes.
Should we start with underrated?
Sure.
All right. So... I had, for my underrated, how much our day-to-day busyness is designed to distract us from death. Noticed that over the break, that I was like, man, I am really scared of death when I don't have a show to record every day.
That's why we do so many. Our existential dread is the thing that power.
Just you trying to keep that void at bay.
Yeah, man. We're trying to do like maybe let's do like 4 episodes a fucking day, dude. You want to do like a midnight update?
Because that's when the thoughts come.
Yeah, exactly.
So I might as well.
Jack, you want to hop on mic real quick? Talk about
4 in the
Trump?
Morning. Yeah.
Hey, Miles.
What
are you doing here?
Jesus, yeah, it's like our ads, but you really are there now.
Yeah. So. I don't know. What more on this to come? I'm reading Denial of Death, the 1970s, like kind of existential psychology book, because that's, I think, the best way. Otherwise, it's going to go down there. I'm going to push that fear down and it's going to like come out as some
who
weird.
Knows what?
Yeah.
Some weird podcast.
Some weird. nosebleed, blood coming out of my ear, and then I just, you know. So,
yeah.
Instead Embrace of that, I'll say the hotness of the door lean.
Wow.
Did you
nice
see
pivot.
This trend? Yeah, that's what That's what I'm talking about. Dudes are hot when they lean on a door, according to people on Twitter. I linked through because Jason, frequent guest Jason Pargin,
right,
tweeted. I just saw a thread asking, ladies, what's the sexiest subtle thing a man can do? And the first reply was door frame lean, and another one was door frame lean, and then there's all these pictures he links of just like men leaning in a door frame,
right?
Which is it?
I mean, yeah. The door, look, it's all, I think leaning in general, right? Like, as I've learned from, what's the name, the dude from Dateline, Keith Morrison. He's like, because there's like a whole account that's called like Keith Leans on Stuff or Keith Leans on Things. Because right. Whenever he's doing shit on Dateline, like this dude, I think, realizes that there is a secret to like the swag source code, which is be like, yo, lean on something when you're fucking delivering a line. Like, it just makes it. So he's like leaning on door frames, fucking refrigerators, counters, whatever. So I think more than the door frame, just the lean in general, I think, yes, is a powerful
I mean, I
swag
just do
tool.
It because I have poor core strength. But
Yeah.
I don't know.
You only work that one like side of your abs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pear-shaped, but like a pear that is like chopped in half.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah. Exactly. Do so many side crunches to one side.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's my underrated. Let's mark and forget about the thing about how I'm afraid of death. I'm actually not afraid of death at all. I think I laugh in the face of it.
Who are you like trying to convince? Fucking Freddy Krueger or some shit?
Myself.
Yeah, I'm actually not like afraid. So like, don't even bother.
I'm very brave. It turns out.
Wait, who killed you in your dreams?
Don't worry about that. Let's not talk about that.
Well, that's a good segue because my underrated fucking dreams.
Yeah.
I keep having them. I've been trying to find this balance of like how much THC to dream ratio is like the right one. And I might be finding it, but dude, I had so fucking three dreams yesterday that I like remember very vividly. One was like it was my last day in Tokyo. And I was going to go take a walk and like, cause as a kid in Japan, I always used to have my headphones in and just like walk around and like do everything like that. Like, cause I was always solo dolo. Mm. And I haven't been doing that since I've had like been in a relationship and going with Her Majesty and like showing her around and now with the Geist Child. So I was like, oh, you know, I need to do one little like nighttime fucking music headphone walk. And then I decided, I was like, actually, I want to go to sleep. And then I was like, wait, I'm dreaming and I'm not in Japan. Then the next one was I went to a church. For whatever reason, because it was like quiet. Yeah. And then I went in there, but somebody gave me like a Bible. I remember I had a Bible someone gave me. And then like I went outside to like look at my phone because for whatever reason, I didn't want to like disrespect the church by being on my phone. And then I almost left, but then I realized I had my AirPods in there and I went in there and then other people were in there and somebody tried to take my AirPods and I had to get that shit back. Mm. And then I left. Not one of the most vivid or... You know, I don't know if there's any meaning to that aside from maybe
kind of uneventful.
Keep my AirPods on me at church. Man.
And like there were AirPods in both of your dreams.
Damn,
dude.
Damn. See, this is why I have to keep coming back here so I can protect myself from who is it Freddy or who? Yeah, it's Freddy Krueger, right?
Freddy. Yeah, Freddy's the dream warrior.
He's gonna try to fucking take my AirPods, bro, and I'm not having it.
Yeah. You gotta keep an eye on that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, dreams. Anyway, shout out to dreams.
Shout out to
like how much I realize before I'm like, yeah, whatever, I don't dream or whatever. But now that I'm having them again, I'm like, this is fucking wild. And
it is.
It's like another trip to like a theme park or something during my sleep time.
It's one of the wildest that like I kind of came into contact with how strange it is that we have dreams, that we have like little brain movies that are like works of art that are. You know, I think we've talked about it because it like some people have like discovered inventions or like had like these breakthroughs on like major scientific problems in their dreams, but like via visual metaphor, which is so weird. Like it's like the brain works through these potent images, but just like having kids and having them like be like, wait, what the fuck is going on? I have little weird, meaningful, scary movies that happen in my brain when I go to sleep at night.
And you're like, embrace them.
Yeah. We talk a lot about
the realest shit we got.
Yeah. They like, before they go to bed, they want me to like help them pray for like good dreams and
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
You know? Just tell him, you know, just fight Freddy, bro, if he's in there. Don't be afraid. Fight Freddy.
Well,
that's the
first thing I showed them, because I want them to be aware of the dangers, what can go wrong.
Exactly.
Showed them the entire suite of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Dad, will you pray with us so we're not visited by Freddy? Well, I mean, I don't know if that's going to help you, but if that's what y'all want, yes.
Here's a little prayer for you. One, two, Freddy's coming for you. Oh, man. All right. And then something I find overrated that I just discovered in the past week is a soulful reinterpretation of a pop song. This has been going on for a while now, a couple weeks. My 5-year-old's favorite song is Crazy, the Gnarls Barkley song, but like a soulful acoustic reinterpretation by like some
just a man and his guitar kind
British
of vibe.
Guy. Yeah, like a little guitar, little piano.
Right.
Each time he touches the piano keys, you can tell he's like having like a little emotional orgasm. But so first of all, I don't know why my 5-year-old I'm like, this is the one that everybody likes. And he's like, yeah, no, I don't like that.
Now, what is this?
He's just got he's like got some angst that he's toying with.
Damn.
Maybe it's all those Freddy movies.
Next.
Maybe it's all those conversations about death that I keep dropping on him.
And the nightmares and shit.
But
he's like, and this is what I hear.
It's just, there are some slow acoustic versions of pop songs that work extremely well.
Yeah.
Like Creep by Radiohead, keep them coming, baby. Like those
work. Everlong, dude, acoustic.
Oh, yeah. Everlong's great. But like the lyrics to Crazy, when like there's just this like white
the
British
slow
dude
tempo. Yeah.
Just low tempoing and just being like, I was out of touch. Like just like feeling it. But
yeah. That,
like it just, but it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Too much.
Does that make me crazy, bro?
Yeah, like right.
Possibly. Like,
it sounds just better when we're bopping to it. Than
when it's sung like that, it sounds like a fuckboy who calls himself a philosopher at heart, you know? I just like knew too much, you know? That's what's like, but I don't know.
And
you think that makes me crazy? Probably.
I hope
I'm
that
different.
You are having the time of your life, but think twice.
That's my
only
advice.
Wait,
your advice is just think twice?
Okay. Come on now.
Yeah.
Who do you? Who do you? Who do you? Who do you? Who do you think you are? Like you're just so
flesh your soul.
Oh man. You really think you're in control? This is a song for my ex. Anyway, I think you're crazy. Just
That's
like
right.
me.
Woo! There's also one of like, hey ya, I guess had a bunch of these because I looked on Reddit to see like what other people's examples of the worst ones are. There's what there like if you Google "Hey Ya Acoustic," there's like a couple white people sitting on a lake, like
right,
and just playing a like banjo acoustic guitar, like eyebrows crinkled together version of "Hey Ya" that is giving me chills, but not the kind they're looking
ones.
For. They're giving me the douche chills.
This is the thing that like. I've definitely seen one where it was like a British woman, English woman doing it. And she's like, my baby don't mess around because she loves me so. And this I know for sure. And I was like, this is haunting. Like if you were doing like a fucked up slasher film that took place in Atlanta, like in the fucking aughts, then maybe we can work. Maybe I can fucks with this. But every other time I'm like, it just. I don't know, it gives it a whole other thing. And some people like that. For for me, I just hear the original too much, and I'm like, no. This is not what I intend to listen to right now.
Right. The original one just like feels so dash, like the song feels like Dash Off, and like he's like working through thoughts, like it feels very stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
And then to have someone sing it like it's a fucking so like him in church is like, yo, what are y'all doing?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Got it. Don't just get it till there's nothing at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. That tracks.
Mm-hmm.
For me, overrated, I would say, is nursery school, because I have. So all we
right.
dropped.
All right. Deep breath.
The guy's child. He's had his first day of nursery school right now.
Man,
Her Majesty and I, we dropped him off. And like nursery school's like, usually, you know, since COVID, like we don't really let the parents in there, like kind of like just trust us.
Yeah.
They're good. Like if you want to like holler at them through the window, you can do that. We're like, is there any way? They're like, okay, if you want a COVID test right now. And we're like, yeah, fine. We got them things on us. Watch this. And we went in, and it's just a surreal experience to go from like, cause he's not even a year old yet.
Yeah.
But to see like just the passage of time vis-a-vis like these little benchmarks, these life events that he's having. And to me, I'm like, it hadn't even been fucking 12 months, but there's already been so much that's happened, and I get emotional and I get overcome with feelings and things like that. And I'm in utter shock. Like we just dropped him off like mere minutes before I hopped on mic.
Yeah.
And the whole time Her Majesty was like, you know, she was having her feelings up front. And for me, I was like, I honestly look like one of these people who like walked out of a building that had just exploded and like they don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
I'm like,
just a thousand yard stare.
Yeah. And now I'm like, as I sit here and I'm like, God, like, and are they gonna, like, the other kids gonna fuck with him? Cause I saw one kid I didn't like. But then I'm like, and then you have to sort of interrogate those feelings. You're like, how am I starting to get like suspicious of other little kids?
Because
you have all these fucking funny ass feelings as a parent. And so anyway, so I don't like when I'm put in touch with my emotions. So I don't like what nursery school did for me today in that sense.
That's some
because
shit
it also reminded me of my mortality.
Like.
Yeah.
Quote Chief Keef.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I should
think
say
that's what that song is about.
About taking your kid to school the first time. And it just feels like, this is, I mean, it's like beautiful because on one hand, you're like, I know he's going to get so much from socializing, from like learning with other kids and things like that. And then you kind of have to be like, man, this ain't about me. You're like being like, but I want to feed him and hold him.
Yeah.
And just trusting the professionals that we entrust our children with every day that they know what they're doing.
Yeah. It's so hard. Also dealing with your feelings about other people's kids. That was like, I remember that becoming more of a thing. Like once they started being,
I'm like, who's this guy? What's this kid up to? I don't like that.
I don't like his energy. He's got weird energy.
Yeah. What's he going to teach my son how to play with a lighter? Because I wanted to be the one who showed him how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
that's how I feel like when I watch kids' sports. I said that the other day like a few months ago when I saw my nephew playing Little League. And I was like, wanted to talk shit to like the batters he was up against, like when he was pitching. I'm like, you ain't got shit, homie. But they're like 11. Like, relax. You don't have to be about it that much.
It can't all be off speed pitches, man. Get your speed up.
Exactly.
Dealing with other people's kids is like one of those big, big, deep, dark like issues because it's like, wait, they feel about their kids the way I feel about
Exactly.
My feelings, which feel so unique and perfect and you know.
Right. And like you telling me the parents of this asshole love him like I love my kid?
Right. Impossible.
Probably. That's yeah.
Does that make me crazy? Possibly, man. I don't know, Doug.
I'm kind of a philosopher poet, kinda like dude, at the end of the
fucked
day.
Fucked up. Yeah. I'm a warrior philosopher, poet.
Poet. And I wouldn't say king, but leader in some like emotional sense.
That's right.
But yeah, like fuck that kid.
Yeah.
I'm angry at him.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back.
We're back.
And
I tried to go pick him up. They said I should at least wait an hour. He should at least be there an hour.
Yeah. The mile-shaped hole out in the wall behind him. And, just came back. Just,
yeah, with like the same, like that typical cartoonish cutout of my arms doing like 90 degree angle.
All right. We've got another. So we talked about this marketing trend that we saw heading into the holiday break, which was musicals disguised as not musicals, like trailers for musicals that don't acknowledge that they're musicals. It was Wonka, it was The Color Purple, and it was Mean Girls were the three films where I had seen the trailer and only later found out that they were musicals. And they were all like huge hits.
Right.
Like, yeah. So Mean Girls now was number one at the box office over the weekend. It made $32 million over the long weekend. It was originally supposed to go straight to streaming on Paramount Plus, presumably after West Side Story bombed, but was given a theatrical release due to enthusiastic test screenings.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just, maybe people are like, yeah, I like the music just doesn't like sell it. It's like a nice to have.
The nursery school just sent me a picture of him.
Yes.
On a swing.
Oh, and he looks
and he
so
fucking
happy.
Loves it. Yeah. That's and right. That gotta trust that. Gotta trust
worse.
That.
Yeah.
Gotta trust that, you know, because it's not really about me. He's having a good time.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on. So. You know, that's the thing I was going to say.
I hope you're having the time of your life. Time. Just
something
twice.
So predictable, and in the end, it's right. I can see like how the Mean Girls musical would work. Like that doesn't feel like for people like millennials of a certain age.
Yeah,
that tracks. Like I feel like the people who I know who like fuck with Mean Girls heavy also aren't like me who are put off by musicals, or like it's a very high barrier for entry for me to like a musical.
Yeah.
So okay.
Yeah. I don't mind like one way or another. And I think maybe that's just where they've like netted out is like people are like, yeah, if there's good songs, but it's hard to get somebody on board with a song like in a trailer length ad, you know? So might as well just hold them out. And you know, just get people excited about going to see the movie, and then the music, if the music works, it's a nice bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
But
what's sad is that this wasn't a drama free event. Cause I saw the headline, and now that I'm reading a little more, I'm like, oh, this is what, cause they're like, Lindsay Lohan was not pleased with some of the jokes.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan makes a cameo, spoilers. Guys, spoilers. If you're
you can't say it after the spoiler.
Lindsay Lohan, well, I don't want
cameo
when
spoiler.
You least expect it. Lindsay Lohan's gonna show up. You don't know in what context yet. Okay, fast forward if you don't want another kind of all right, and here it is. She plays the moderator of the climactic math competition.
Yes, great.
And at one point in the movie, Megan Thee Stallion drops a reference to Y2K fire crotch. Says, we're going back red. Y2K fire crotch is back. I'm assuming that makes sense within the context of the movie. You know, like it's one of those things I'm reading out of context. I'm like, well, that joke sucks.
But yeah. Did they call her Y2K fire? I'm like, I don't think that's a line from the first one.
No. So I think it is a reference to there was this Brandon Davis oil air guy who's like best friends with
yes, dude.
Do you remember this asshole?
Yes.
So it's like from a public like shaming of Lindsay Lohan, where so this it was like an early internet viral video. Paris Hilton is seen audibly laughing as her friend Brandon Davis insults Lindsay Lohan to the paparazzi. He says, I think she's worth about $7 million, which means she's really poor. It's disgusting. She lives in a motel. and then he said, who would want to fuck her? And then says she's a fire crotch.
Wow. Just that's very Y2K.
Very different time. Not that it was acceptable then, but like, holy shit. The fact that like this person was like, ew, she's poor. I'm a billionaire. And then like, fucking body shamed her.
Do you I mean, I remember this guy had such villain face too.
Oh yeah,
like he looked like Billy Zane, like if Billy Zane had hair and then got like a bunch of plastic surgery.
Yeah,
like he I remember like, and he always had that like sheen of drug sweat on his face too.
Like wet hair, like
wet face, like
wet hair, wet face, coke sweat, and just constant sneer, constantly just like talking down his nose at people. But anyways, he publicly apologized, so all good there. No, obviously just like a complete villain. But so they made a reference to that, which it doesn't necessarily, I don't know, I don't know what the intent of the joke is. I haven't seen the movie, but according to a representative of Lindsay Lohan, she didn't know about the reference to the misogynistic attack until she was watching the movie at the premiere and was very hurt and disappointed.
I wonder who, like it's interesting to know what the writers were thinking with that. Like, were they just doing shorthand because like fire crotch was just a thing like millennials would say,
right?
Like in a pejorative sense. And then they just added Y2K, or if they're like, nah, you know what? Let's fucking hit her where it hurts. Remember Brandon Davis?
Right.
Like, let's give her the business on that one. Like,
buy Mean Girls for Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Is what this movie is.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, hopefully the shout out to the studio for just taking a chance on some IP that's already proven to be successful and making a little bit of money off of that.
It's crazy. Like that we are like in the era of IP's dead, now it's all original stuff, and like, I mean, this is
it's like not a Mean Girls sequel. Mean Girls the musical.
Wow.
So yeah, are y'all ready for fucking Avengers Endgame the puppet show? Because that shit
is what they're gonna do.
That shit is even more mind blowing when it's puppets and all practical effects.
God, what if they do like all of the Marvel movies, but as musicals?
Oh. Jack, we might be on the precipice of something like that.
We're getting 1x multipliers on these other movies that are remade as musicals. So why not try it with a movie that made
a fucking straight $2 billion?
Yeah. You know?
What, a worst, if it does half, we make a bill? Come on, bro.
Come on,
puppets, those shits are cheap as fuck.
Do I have to do the math for you? Musical puppet show. The Emmy Awards were last night. Were
so confused.
Even more confusing than usual. They were technically the 2023 Emmys, honoring shows released between June 2022 and May 2023. So, for instance, The Bear won Best Comedy for its first season.
Yeah, I never understood that.
Even though its second season has already aired, because the whole thing was delayed due to strikes. So the voting for this round of awards actually ended last August.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So also Game of Thrones won for its third season somehow. No.
That was a wild one, dude. That was a wild one. Finally.
Succession won for best drama. Beef won for best limited series. So does that mean like they're promising no more beef? Like, do you have to like swear an affidavit saying that like
that
I will not?
Done?
Yeah,
I don't
go
know.
Under oath and say I'm not going to make another season of Beef because we submitted in a limited series.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. They want, but yeah. Unless they do Beef the musical,
there you go. And that does count as original work.
100%.
Super producer Victor is letting us know you can repeat if it's an anthology
series. Okay.
Anthology.
Oh, so like True Detective?
Yeah.
Something we would treat like that?
Yeah.
Did you watch that? Did you watch the new season?
No, but I talked to somebody who watched it and said it was really good. So that's how, all I need is four more recommendations.
Exactly.
And I'm going to be on board.
I need to hit the tipping point, which is around 4 to 5 people whose opinions I usually respect on the matter, and then be like, all right, I'll get it, yeah. I'll get it.
Quinta Brunson became the first Black actress to win Best Actress in a comedy series in more than 4 decades, since Isabel Sanford won for The Jeffersons in 81.
Wow. That's a long
crazy.
Time.
That is a long time.
Holy shit.
This nation has been crazy for the entirety of our lives, it turns out. Better Call Saul kind of pulled off an impressive feat in that it lost in all categories it was nominated in.
Okay.
Meaning the show never won a single Emmy, even though it was nominated 53 times.
That's fucked.
It is the most snubbed series in the history of Emmys, which feels appropriate. Like, Better Call Saul is such a good show, and when you're watching it, you're like, God damn, this is good. But like,
right.
I never can get excited about it when I'm not watching it, you know?
Sure.
It's just like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, for me, it was just, like, so revealing. Like, it just put, like, Odenkirk, like, on this new, like, level as a performer, and I was like, oh, shit, okay. It's not just funny ha-has with this guy, and he's doing
although
it really
there
well.
There are some.
But then, like, the Emmys, too, it's like, whatever, you know, I get, like, obviously when you're nominated for these awards, you'd like to win them, but there's something for me personally, like, it was always confusing when the Emmys were, and I couldn't quite understand what was up, like, what was eligible, so I was like, oh, yeah, so they won the little angel holding the sphere thing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I could never, for most of my adult life, and this is something that I've only recently begun to be able to admit, but I couldn't tell the difference between Emmys and Grammys. I just had the hardest time. I would confuse them. And I talked to my doctor about it. And
right. Oh, you have Emmy Grammy blindness.
I do have Emmy Grammy blindness.
Yeah. And working so hard, they're like, what's this? You're like, that is a old-timey record player. Okay, good. What's
Gramophone. That's the only time I was able to figure it out. Was one
okay, what's this?
Gramophone.
Angel holding sphere ball. Okay, good.
You're
now,
making progress. You're making great progress, Jack.
But the second they make it a gold statuette, they're like, okay, now what's this again? You're like, it's chicken legs. Chicken legs? It's the gramophone. Yeah. Grandma's phone.
That's right.
Grandmother's phone. Exactly.
My grandma phone. On the bright side, Sir Elton John EGOT-ed his Disney Plus special, Elton John Live, Farewell from Dodger Stadium, I would have thought they would have gone with like a goodbye Yellow Brick Road reference there, but farewell from Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
One, making him just the 19th person to EGOT. So congratulations to him. He unfortunately just had knee surgery and was unable to attend to receive his Emmy and traditional EGOT blood sacrifice. So, you know, a couple lucky, innocent sacrifice victims, you know, were off the hook. Breathing a little easier last night.
Yeah.
But
I'm trying to, wow, who's got people who are almost there?
Like in the world of EGOT?
Like Barbara Streisand has like a ceremonial EGOT. I'm trying to think of like who
she would have been like the original EGOT.
Nah, man, the original EGOT was Richard Rodgers.
Okay.
Then
Rodgers
Helen Haynes, Rita Moreno.
Is that
Forgot fucking that's right, Whoopi Goldberg EGOTed.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg is like one of the people who like if you asked me like name a person who has EGOTed, I think I would have named Whoopi Goldberg.
I think I would have said Alan Menken, probably. The
guy
who did all those, like, I don't know why. That guy's name sticks out in my head just so much. I think because his hands were all over those, like, 80s and early 90s Disney films that I actually, like, remember the words to.
Damn. John Legend.
Yeah. I know. It's only, I know.
First of all, John Legend was only 39 at the when he completed it. Robert Lopez, composer, whose work I'm not familiar with, won it at 39, youngest ever, I guess. Pretty impressive. I'm assuming he's one of the Lopez brothers, like Robert, Robin, and Brooke from the NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's
close? Okay, without an Emmy, Henry Fonda didn't have an Emmy and could have got it. It's interesting to see how many people are super close.
On the verge.
A lot of people who've
edging.
Got
EGOT
almost
edging.
All. Yeah. We see you, Vanessa Redgrave.
Yeah.
We see you, Al Pacino.
Hooah.
He just needs a Grammy, man. Just get this fucking guy. Yeah, just nonstop. Hooah.
He just needs to be reading books on tape from now until he gets his, because that he would kill a book on tape. You
right.
Know? And that you can get a Grammy for that, can't you?
Yeah, yeah.
That, or alternately, he should be doing the intros on rap albums, like, of his movies. When people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't give it to that other guy. You know, do it yourself. You know,
oh, man, if Adele won a Tony, she could fucking EGOT. So she just needs to get on stage. She just needs that stage award. And the Oscar section, if James Earl Jones won it, he would have an EGOT.
He hasn't won an Oscar?
No.
Oh, come on, man.
Either it's fucking Hugh Jackman, man.
Well.
The world's fucking upside down. What's also funny, too, is Trey Parker and Matt Stone are also an Oscar away from EGOTing.
Oh, then an Oscar away?
Yeah, yeah.
They'll never get it.
They'll never get it.
Too funny.
Not after that acid trip on the red carpet, they won't.
Hugh Jackman-man is my favorite DC superhero.
Hugh Jackman-man?
Hugh Jackman-man. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Iowa. Talk about the other big winner of the night.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And do you think that Trump would exchange all of his political power and success for an EGOT? I feel like he would. If we could like somehow convince him it was real.
You have to convince him that people who get EGOTs can have like absolute legal immunity from everything.
Right. That's true.
That's really that's it. Because he's like Smeagol.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He needs the ring. And the ring is... I need a way out of my fucking legal problems.
Legal Schmeagol. Yeah.
Yeah. Legal Schmeagol.
One of my favorite 80s Schmeagol. Movies.
Right. If we could convince him that the EGOT was like the ring, then yeah, maybe.
It is. So we had a feeling he was going to win.
Something about it. I don't know what it was. Just this feeling that he might do it.
He got 51% of the vote. Won by the largest margin. Since Bob Dole in 1988, maybe bigger than Bob Dole in 1988.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think it's looking like it's the largest ever margin in Iowa caucus history, surpassing the previous record of 12.8 percentage points for Bob Dole. More than double what he got in Iowa in 2016 when he won 24% of the vote, finishing second behind Ted Cruz.
Oof.
And so the DeSantis campaign, like,
this is great.
I read this as being like, you know, my first on first encountering their complaints, I was like, yeah, well, he's a loser. This is a fucking loser complaint. Sour grape bullshit.
Right.
They were like, they projected this like 30 minutes after the caucuses began.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know what a caucus is necessarily. I think we've covered it on the show before, but like, I don't remember that shit. But it's something that is like fluid, where isn't it like kind of a ongoing evolving situation?
Yeah. That,
so for them to call it right away based on like a set number of votes, they were like, this feels unfair. Like
right.
It kind of is tantamount to election interference, which, you know, probably like he was going to say some shit like that regardless, but it is weird.
Oh, you know what it is? Actually, this is the reason. We were talking about the Democratic caucusing in Iowa, which is the one where motherfuckers are like moving around and like trying to convince each other, like, yo, come over here, be Buttigieg, or like, come over
right,
here and
right.
be bright. There, it's just like voting.
Oh, it is.
It's just
okay.
A secret ballot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's less of, yeah, like the thing that we have in the front of our mind was Iowa caucuses as related to the Democrats, because we were more interested in like what the fuck was going on there. And that is the one where it's more fluid and there's people like trying to convince people to join the other groups.
Got it.
Yeah. So that's probably why. And also, I mean, I don't know. I feel like everybody probably anybody who saw this shit coming was like, yeah, why are you even? OK, yeah, go ahead, though. Vote in. Yeah, well, it's going to be Trump. But yeah. Yes, let's see. Let's see by how much.
Yeah. It's all, it is just, I don't know. it's another moment to be like, we probably shouldn't have a media spectacle around elections. Like, we it probably should not be the media's fucking Super Bowl, which it is.
Well, yeah.
Like, and it's a race to see who can call it first.
Well, it loses all its meaning too. Like, right. When it becomes a horse race, then rather than thinking of like, what is the future of your nation from a policy or, you know, whatever perspective, you're like, I don't know, it's a fucking horse race. And they're like, oh yeah, right. What? That's right. These people aren't the horses. They're horses that have to like create laws and enact bills that will keep us safe or
hey,
not
if you
safe.
Let horses do it, they probably do a better job. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
Probably.
You know,
horses around. Oh, that's already going on there.
Am I right? Horses and clowns. But yeah, I don't know. Other countries have media blackouts around elections. It feels like we have basically the exact opposite. Like, whatever blackout around elections is trying to achieve, they were like, nah, we're actually going for that. That's actually what we're going for.
They're like, bro, have you seen how much Walmart will throw down if I tell them I'm doing wall-to-wall horse racing, political horse race? It's fucking wild, okay? I could have 9 Tucker Carlsons, and I would still have plenty of ad revenue just by turning this thing into a all-you-can-eat ad buffet.
Yeah. Just a big Pepsi Coke display in the grocery store.
I'm surprised they don't brand the fuck. How far off are we from the fucking Pepsi Cola Republican primary?
Yeah. I think the rise of fascism is probably going to hurt that a little bit, but it does. It did feel inevitable at a certain point.
Yeah. They'll find a way. They'll find a way just to kind of do this new version.
But, I mean, it was the AP, CNN, they all called it early after analyzing early results from 8 Iowa counties.
But that's voter interference.
Following the results, Vivek Ramaswamy dropped out of the race and into the race to be Trump's VP. He was like,
not going to happen.
I'm out, but I really love Trump and I'm going to endorse him, sir, God, leader, king.
Yeah, I mean, he had a wild weekend, too, because first he was like, he was talking fucking shit about Trump to like one of these voters. And Trump was like, what the f-? He's like, you know, he's injured, man. He's limping. He's like, I'll be able to take this thing over the line. He didn't realize that shit was like being recorded.
Oh.
And then Trump was like, he's like, do not vote for him. He's a phony. A vote for him is not MAGA, does not help me, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, please, bro, don't fucking vaporize me. He even went on Fox and Friends and like Ducey was like, yo, bro, why did he fucking throw you under the bus like that? And Ramaswamy was like, well, you know, I actually don't think he threw me under the bus. He's like, he threw you under the entire bus and the bus had snow tires. And he was like, well, you know, and like he couldn't really hem and haw his way out of that one. And yeah, now he's calling it quits. Shame that. You pander to white supremacy and it still didn't work for you. It still didn't work somehow. Even Steve King, the one of the most despicable members of Congress, he was backing your shit. It still didn't work, Vivek. Hate to see it play out the same way every time.
Nikki Haley came in third, close third to Ron DeSantis, and is basically saying this means it's a two-party, a two-candidate race. It was basically like DeSantis is done. Which will it'll be more interesting. She really kind of put her energy into New Hampshire, it feels like. And DeSantis put his energy into Iowa. And the fact that they were as close as they were in Iowa suggests that maybe it's time for Ronnie Boy. Ronnie, Meatball Bob. Meatball. What was it, Rob? To drop off. And I don't know. I'm assuming somebody's going to stick around just in case, like, the Supreme Court makes a ruling on this bitch, you know?
Well, and also, too, like, there is, there are reports that, you know, I don't, and it's hard for me to believe because it's all polling, but there seems to be, like, a solid number of Republicans who are like, yeah, his legal shit could actually affect him negatively. So we'll see. But I'm like, that y'all are just saying that because at the end of the day, it's all about the vengeance, like sort of narrative with Trump is like coming fucking back and showing everybody. It's nothing to do with his legal jeopardy. Or you're probably just smart enough to know that you want to come off as somebody who's rational. But yeah. It's,
but then it, when it comes to the voting, is not going to be rational.
It's like, yeah, for Trump.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, poor Rob DeSantis, though, too. I mean, not fuck him, but like, this is like a really interesting study in how the donor class was like, Rob is our fucking guy.
Yeah.
The guy who eats pudding with no spoon and his straight fingies. That's our guy. Because they're like, and as we were even looking too, we're like, he's like kind of understands legislation better than Trump. And like, that was like seen as a strength for a lot of these donors, but without realizing that, like, it wasn't about these voters wanting like someone who's like, we need Trump, but more effective. It's like, they just wanted Trump no matter what.
Yeah.
And it didn't bother them that he was bumbling even as he tried to like dismantle so many different parts of our government. So there's Ron out there, and I think the clock is ticking. They're like, when are you gonna drop out, bro? Spent a lot of money on those boots and private jets. What's going on?
Greatest lifts the money can buy.
Yeah. I don't even think they were the best that money could buy, sadly.
There were some, like, Mediaite did a report where they asked Trump supporters in Iowa, like, so are you okay with, like, you saw that he said he was going to be a dictator, and they're like, and that's what America needs, is a dictator. Yeah. Which, like, that does seem to be a point that has been lost on a lot of mainstream media outlets up to now, that, like, the dictatorship is the point. For a lot of Trump supporters, they're just, you know, which I don't know, I don't agree with it, but I also understand the logic of them seeing a country where the president is like, I don't know, I can't, my hands are tied, man, I can't do anything. And it's
they
like,
want somebody who's like,
president,
you go to jail now, motherfucker. Right. They're like, yeah,
exactly.
That's what they want. That's a 2024, y'all. What a Woo! Awful, what a sweaty time we're going to have at the ballot box. Cause it's
truly
like, and it's really philosophically, like I keep like sort of interrogating this in my mind and trying to understand like what's at stake really here. And it's like, yeah, there is one party is absolutely trying to be like, we want to go backwards so far, so fast, it'll make your fucking head spin.
Yes.
And then as much as I'm like, the fuck, but I'm like, where we're at is so bad, like, we need to move forward. It's like, then there's this other, the Democrats are like, well, we don't want to go backwards per se.
Right.
Like, yeah. Fuck, man. Like, obviously, don't want to go backwards per se is better, but I think that's the thing that I have so much trouble with, is like, I hate that those are the options.
Yeah. The options are bad.
And Alayemi Aluren was saying something really interesting. You should check out our YouTube show about just sort of like, because we're in this such a fraught space of like, there are people who are like, just don't fucking vote, man, at fucking all. Like, fuck it all, man.
Yeah.
And there are people who are like, vote blue no matter who. And I think there's also this space too where people are like, I don't support Joe Biden, but also a vote isn't necessarily like you expressing your entire political philosophy. But as a tool to at least figure out what you're trying to see happen with this situation in its current form.
Yeah.
That's why it makes it very difficult, because like, there's so many things to it, especially with like people of color and younger people who are like slowly like moving away from Biden, or at least in the polling is showing that like the enthusiasm just not there. It's like just this feeling of like, we can be doing so much. Like, can you at least lie better? Like,
right,
can I at least get that out of you? Or are you really just gonna fucking ignore everything and be like, what y'all gonna do, like, let Trump come in? Which I think is a very dangerous game for Democrats too, like, and it's for all these hand-wringing sort of op-eds I read about like what the Democrats like are doing right but no one understands, or like these questions about like, what can they be doing better? It's like, man, you really gotta fucking meet people where they're at to start off. Like, the whole democracy thing is so abstract to people, like, because not everybody's a high information voter. A lot of work to do. So it's going to be a real, my nails are already fully bitten off.
There you go.
January. So
we'll see. Have you gotten to the cuticles yet? Those are yummy.
The cutes?
Delicious little cutes.
That's where the flavor's at, dude.
That's where all the good stuff is. All right. Those are some of the things that are trending on this Tuesday, January 16th. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy.
No.
And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.